Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. We're glad to have you with us as we begin the show today. We do this every day at 11 o'clock. Hope you're with us every day. If not, we're glad you're with us today. Don't forget, you can find us as a podcast as well. We're on Apple Podcasts. Just search the Hoosier Report. Also on SoundCloud as well. You can find us on the SoundCloud app or by pointing your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Lot to talk about today on the program. Let's get right to the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have Hoosier headlines, our news of the day here in Southern Indiana and from an IU perspective, presented each day by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A lot of recruiting stuff in this first segment. It's that time of year. It's kind of what moves the needle in basketball. IU coaches on the road yesterday, expected to be back out today, looking at some players, visiting with some players and coaches. We'll tell you where they've been as well. Also, another Division I scholarship offer for a local basketball player in Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville. We'll tell you about that and take a look at some high school baseball action from last night as well. That's all coming up in the first segment. Also, later in the program, segment two today, we'll be joined by Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Our segment, our chat with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. A lot to talk to with Greg. I want to get to a little Romeo Langford. The NBA draft is coming and some other subjects as well. And if you know Greg and if you listen to Greg, you know that each week the conversation typically is very interesting. You never quite know where it may start and where it may end. Might be two completely different topics or two completely different things. But we'll have Greg in segment number two today, again presented by Coffee Crossing. Later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com is with us to talk, of course, IU basketball primarily. Might get into some other topics as well. But with all these names and coaches on the road, taking a look at players and meeting with players from a recruiting perspective, Mike and Jeff Rabjohns and Alex Bozich and some of the guys that we have on the show every day are the best you could have to give insight on some of these players. They've probably seen them multiple times. They often know their coach. They know the details of the recruitment. And so as we sit here following it from a distance and try to think, well, this guy in the East Coast, this guy in Florida, this guy, of course, in Indiana, wherever they may be recruiting, you get a sense, a better sense, because of these great guests we have on who some of these kids are. Of course, some of them, it's a light conversation because they turn their attention elsewhere. They may never seriously consider Indiana. It might be early, late in their recruiting process. Who knows? But some of them, we've had the opportunity really to talk a lot about and learn a lot about as they've become serious IU commitments. And, of course, some of them have went on to sign with the program and play for the program. By the time they get to Bloomington, at least I feel this way. I hope you do as well. Some of the guys we have know so much about them that you really feel like you know the player by the time they get here a lot more than what you maybe do. So Mike Pegram will help us with some of that today from a recruiting perspective as well, and some other things with him when he joins us a little bit later. That's the guest lineup. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's time for our Hoosier Headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. As I said, a lot of recruiting stuff to get to. Yesterday, IU coaches at Huntington Prep, which is located in Huntington, West Virginia, checking out a junior who's a very popular player named Zach Loveday. And I don't know if Archie Miller was there, if assistant coaches were there, but also coaches in New York to watch a player named RJ Davis. He's in the 2020 class, so he's a junior getting ready to be a senior. And 2021, which would be a sophomore getting ready to be a junior, A.J. Griffin. A number of schools there, according to Adam Zagoria. Indiana was joined by Maryland, Penn State, Siena, Marist, Villanova as well. So, again, IU coaches taking advantage of this opportunity to get out on the road. Speaking of that, Archie Miller is expected himself to be in Pennsylvania today to watch a player named Donovan Johnson, 6'7" small forward, who is currently a junior, will be a senior next year, ranked in, the top 125 or so in the country. And again, a lot of connections back to the Pennsylvania state for Archie Miller and his family, but that's where he's expected to be today as well. Speaking of recruiting, everybody knows IU with a big visitor from the 2019 class who would become an immediate member of IU, essentially, if they commit and sign to the program. That's Anthony Harris, who was on campus over the weekend. He took followed up his IU visit on Saturday and Sunday with an official visit that I believe ends later today at North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Interestingly enough, earlier today, the number one guard available in that class, Cole Anthony, committed to North Carolina. Anthony, I saw him over the weekend. He was MVP of the Jordan Brand Classic. I think he was MVP of the McDonald's All-American game as well. So a big commitment for Roy Williams and crew. And we'll ask Mike Pegram this, but does the commitment of Cole Anthony help the recruitment to IU of Anthony Harris? A lot of Anthony's going on there, but we'll see. Perhaps because I believe Anthony Harris was just down to Indiana in North Carolina primarily. So interesting note there with North Carolina. Could it affect Indiana? One other general note, Kyle Guy tweeting out yesterday that he's going to keep his name in the NBA draft. He knows the NBA is the right step for him after much prayer and thought with his family is what he took to Twitter to write. And so it looks like Kyle Guy, who some thought initially may not go to the draft, and even when he declared for the draft initially, he kept that door open for a return to Virginia. But he is definitely going to stay in the draft and try to make it a go and make that next step to playing professional basketball. So it'll be interesting to follow him, another Indiana guy, in the draft for this upcoming June. Also locally in recruiting, Jeffersonville junior Trey Coleman, he adds another Division I scholarship offer. Ball State, the most recent school to offer him a scholarship. Trey has offers from Indiana State, also an offer from New Orleans, and of course before the coaching change at Nebraska, they had offered him a scholarship as well. We'll see if that offer stands, or I'm sure they'll be looking at him in the spring and summer live periods as well. But he's a player that I fully expect to land a number of more scholarship offers in the upcoming spring and summer recruiting opportunities. The question, I think, with Trey Coleman is, will he get a Big Ten level offer like in Nebraska again, or even something in the conference a little higher than that? Or is he primarily going to have a lot of mid-major schools to choose from? He's obviously got the attention of guys in the state of Indiana, with Indiana State and Ball State now both offers. He's got a lot of other interests. He might even have some additional scholarship offers as well that I'm not recalling or not listening. But a lot of interest for him. He's going to be fun to follow in the offseason as well. And from an NBA draft perspective, if you're keeping score of all the different mock drafts out there, a new one up on CBS Sports from Kyle Boone. They have Romeo Langford at number 19 in the recent draft. That might be, as far as the more reputable ones out there, one of the lower spots that I've seen him. And they have, for what it's worth, Juwan Morgan at number 79 in their most recent mock draft, which was released yesterday afternoon. Also, a couple high school baseball notes from last night. Big rivalry game, Jeffersonville and Providence. Jeff jumped out to a 4-run lead 4-0 in the first inning of play, and would hold on to win 5-1 over Providence last night. Jeffersonville 9-4, Providence 7-3 on the season last night. The winning pitcher for Jeffersonville, Connor Christopher, and he actually defeated Joe Wilkinson, who's a future IU baseball player, who got off to a little bit of a rough start, but other than that has been just a great pitcher for Providence and is excited, I know, about his college future, and I know IU excited to have him as well, but will be an interesting player to follow in his senior year to see what Providence can do in the state tournament with him on the mound. But a rough night for him and for the Pioneers last night as they fall to Jeffersonville. Also last night, Trinity of Louisville, they were winners by 10 runs over Floyd Central by a score of 14-4. Floyd Central falls to 7-7 on the season. Now, even as we approach, really, I guess, a month away, just over a month away, maybe a month and a couple days from the start of the sectional for baseball, and that goes for softball as well. Softball might actually even be a little sooner than that. Of course, sectionals normally wrap up in baseball on Memorial Day. A lot of fun. We'll be at the 4A sectional to cover New Albany, Jeff, Floyd Central, which if you've been following some of the local scores from these key games and some of the rivalry games, really hard to figure out the hierarchy of Southern Indiana baseball this year. Jeff beat Floyd Central. Floyd Central beat New Albany. New Albany beat Jeff. No real clear-cut favorite, I don't think, in the conference, the Hoosier Hills Conference, that is, or in the sectional as well. And the same goes for Providence and Silver Creek and some other programs as well. Very competitive. They've got the pitching and the hitting on any given night to make a run. We'll see what happens. Those are the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Greg Doyle, columnist for the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. That's coming your way next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is my guest. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy Coffee Crossing's warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use their convenient drive-through. And, of course, the fourth Coffee Crossing location in Southern Indiana is now open in Sellersburg, easily located near Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange. Greg is with me. Greg, I guess we start with the Indiana Pacers. Couldn't get it done against Boston in the NBA playoffs in the first round. Then it's just a team that I follow from a distance. You share some knowledge on them from time to time when you join us. But I can't help to think what that series could have looked like with a healthy Victor Oladipo playing in a Pacers uniform.
Yeah, we'll never know. But holy cow, was that a close series. Some of the final scores were maybe 10 or 12 points. But every game was right there for the taking in the late, and the Pacers were without their best player, and their best player at both ends of the court. Oladipo is their all-defensive player. Of course, Miles Turner's pretty good, too. But both ends of the court, Oladipo's the guy. And late in the game, when it's time to win a game and you need a bucket, the Celtics had a whole bunch of choices, including Kyrie Irving, and the Pacers had, I mean, they did the best they could. You know, I'm blown away by, and I need to write this week if I get the chance, I'm blown away by the criticism of Nate McMillan around here. I don't know what people are looking at. I mean, the Pacers finished one game behind the Celtics in a year where they didn't have Oladipo for most of the year. They got swept, but every game they were right there. And you look at talent for talent, there was no question. There's no comparison. No comparison. If you were going to draft a team, like an expansion team, off the two rosters, you'd get five or six players deep before you'd pick the first Pacer, healthy. Anyway, it's a shame Oladipo wasn't there, but he'll be back next year I am sure he'll be back better than ever.
Yeah, that was my next question. I don't think there's any concern that this injury, which obviously ended his season, will bleed over into next year. He's expected to be back, and I would think fairly healthy or fairly close to 100% by the time the NBA season gets here. Is that right?
Yeah. He's already walking, as he should be. He's walking just fine. He showed up at game four and looked good. I don't know what he looks like in the gym, what he's doing. They've not given us that kind of update. But, yeah, what he suffered was not nearly the kind of thing that, say Paul George and Gordon Hayward suffered, where you know they're going to come back, but you kind of wonder, are you going to come back the same? Nobody, what Oladipo suffered, the ruptured tendon, no one is saying, is he going to come back the same? Yeah, he'll come back the same. And he's got that work ethic. And most pro athletes, you get to that level, you got it. But he's got that work ethic where he'll come back dynamite.
Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, this segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. NBA draft in June. We've spent a lot of time, and I know we'll still have lots of conversations in front of us about Romeo Langford and the draft, where he's projected to go, how healthy he is, some of the activities that take place between now and the draft. Is he able to participate in those? And if he is, how's he doing? How's it helping or hurting his stock for the draft? But that said, not only Romeo, but Kyle Guy as well, from Virginia, of course, an Indianapolis native at Lawrence Central High School. He announced for the draft, which I think surprised some people a few weeks ago, shortly after Virginia won the national championship, and he took to social media yesterday to kind of reaffirm his commitment, because at first it was, I'm gonna declare for the draft and leave the door open for a return to Virginia. But his message yesterday is clearly, my focus is on the NBA draft. I appreciate my time at Virginia, and he's moving on to the next level. What do you think of him and the NBA? A lot like we've talked about Romeo, where could he go? Where is he projected to go?
Well, real quick, before I get to that, this just occurs to me that I'm pretty sure I could be skipping a year or something, but all 4 years, Mr. Basketball, that I've been here has turned pro early. Romeo, obviously, before him was Chris Wilkes at UCLA. He's entering the draft. Kyle Guy, and before that, I believe, was Biggie Swanigan.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't even know who was before Biggie. I wasn't here, but I'm sure that guy. Oh no, it was Trey Lyles before that. So that's five in a row, and I'm sure it's more than that. So. And the larger point being that if you're the best basketball player in our state, you're special. I mean, obviously, but you're like elite pro special. That you're not going to be Mr. Basketball in our state and go to some little Division III school and become a dentist. If you're Mr. Basketball here, you're a pro. What kind of pro will Kyle Guy be? I've seen on ESPN when they on the ticker, he's not ranked in their top 100, and I guess I get it up to a point. I mean, he's 6'2", he's kind of skinny. Who's he going to guard? In the NBA, they say how much you play depends on who you can guard. And Virginia, I've heard that Virginia's defense and the way they, Tony, I mean, it's great for college, but it doesn't really do any favors for some guys entering the pros. I'm not sure if that's true, but I've heard that. Just because it leans so much on principles that they don't do in the NBA. It's brilliant, but just brilliant a different way. Look, he's 6'2 or 6'3. He's a plus athlete. I guess for obvious reasons, you might look at him and think he's not. He's an above-the-rim finisher who can handle the ball but is a great, great shooter. Now is the time where we don't care how tall you are, and we don't care can you shoot? It's almost like quarterback in the NFL. Can you throw the ball, Kyler Murray? Then we'll draft you first overall. And he's not going to go like that, but can you shoot the ball? Well, in this NBA where it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, there's a place for you. So I'm a little bit surprised that I'm stunned that he's not even a top 100 prospect. Like, really? He was one of the best two or three pure shooters in college basketball last year. There's not a place for that guy in the NBA? You're wrong.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. And while we're on that subject, to talk Romeo for just a moment as well, everybody wants to know, has he hired an agent? How did the surgery go? Will he be playing in the combine and some of those other opportunities as well that are out there? And it's been really quiet. I've not heard much about him. Have you heard the latest on Romeo? Do you have any scoop that we don't know?
No, but now that you say that, I'm going to start digging around, because you're right. That's very interesting. I'm not a doctor, of course. Didn't sleep last night at a Holiday Inn Express either, but I hope for his sake, assuming I'm right, that he's not doing much, if anything, in the draft combine. It just seems too soon. I could be wrong. You know, maybe you have that surgery on your wrist and your thumb, and you're ready to go. And, you know, I say I hope he doesn't in the combine. I'm wrong about that. You know what I hope now that I'm arguing with myself? He needs to be. I hope he's healthy enough to do it because the NBA needs to see what he looks like healthy. We didn't see it at IU, and he still scored 16, 17 a game, made all Big Ten, all rookie team, but he was clearly hurt in a way that they weren't letting on. So I hope for his sake the surgery and the recovery is fast enough that he can do individual workouts and whatnot, because otherwise you're drafting a guy based on film that's really not accurate of who he's going to be because of the thumb, and also you're drafting a guy that you haven't seen yet. Well, what does he look like now after the surgery? I hope that surgery was done in time, that he's ready for the pre-draft workouts for his sake. He really will need that. I mean, he's going to get picked and get picked high, but he needs to show what he can do to maximize his draft potential.
Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Again, Coffee Crossing, Sellersburg now open. Make sure you check it out. When we talked last, you were in Boston. And I'm getting back to the Pacers and Celtics for just a second, but going a different direction. You were in Boston, you had some time to kill, and you were going to the Celtics practice and going to follow that practice up with, I think, a one-on-one opportunity to talk and catch up with Brad Stevens a little bit. I read your column after that, which, as always, very nicely done. I'm curious, and some people hit me with this, at least one person did, and people love and still, I think, in Indiana are infatuated with Brad Stevens, and many wish that he was a college coach, specifically maybe IU's college coach. But the question I had, can you ask Greg after his talk with Brad Stevens, and this probably did not even come up, but do you have any feeling on someday if maybe the NBA doesn't turn out to be a long-term thing, and it's beginning to be a long-term thing for him. He's been there for a number of years now, but can you see him returning to the college game? Not even talking IU here, not even talking a school in Indiana here, but can you see him returning to the college game at some point?
Yeah, it's possible. Well, before I tell you say that, yes. And I really wouldn't have thought that, and I hadn't even thought about this. It's funny, you know, until someone asks you a question, you don't know what you think, right? And I hadn't really thought about it, but now you ask that question, I knew where you're going, and this whole time it's flooded in my head. Yes, he'll be in college again, and here's why. When I'm talking to him, he says the reason, and I don't know if he's ever said this before, but he told me the reason he left Butler for the Celtics was that he wanted to stretch himself as a coach. He knew that he wasn't good enough, and he wanted to go get better. And so it's almost like going to graduate school. And when you put it that way, what he didn't say was, I wanted to coach the best of the best. It wasn't about who am I coaching. It was about his own development. He wanted to develop and thought he would develop more in the NBA because he wasn't going to leave Butler for another college. It wasn't going to happen. So he went to get his master's level, you know, degree at with the Celtics, and maybe he'll, like a lot of master's students, maybe he'll become a teacher himself and never leave. Maybe he'll never leave campus. Maybe he'll stay with the Celtics for the next 20 years. But I, you know, now that you're asking me and now I'm thinking about it, again, he's not in the NBA because he wanted to be in the NBA. He's in the NBA because he wanted to stretch himself. I would not be surprised if he, because he's, I mean, he just seems like such a college guy. He just seems so perfectly collegiate that, and also, he told me his biggest regret in coaching, I mean, I was blown away when he said this, is the two Final Four runs, two championship games. He blames himself. He says, if I was a better coach, a more seasoned, is his terminology, more seasoned, in other words, more experienced, we'd have won. I'm thinking he went, got his master's degree in the NBA and he's got some unfinished business in college and he's going to want to come back and do it. I bet he's back. And if I had to guess the school he'll coach at someday, if I had to guess, I'm going to guess he's going to replace Coach K.
Wow.
That's just a guess. Well, I mean, Lord knows that's a guess. Don't anybody think of Brad. No, Brad doesn't say nothing. I mean, nothing, but, you know, so they're going to get someone special to replace Coach K, obviously. I mean, obviously. And his coaching tree hasn't been that. I mean, Mike Bray's done fine at Notre Dame, but he's probably too old. I don't think you go get Mike Bray to replace Coach K. Wojciechowski's done pretty well at Marquette, but he's really only had one really good year. We'll see. Maybe Wojo. Maybe. Short of those two, only one name makes sense, and it's the guy coaching the Celtics.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, my guest. And this is this is probably no surprise, but sometime I lean on Greg and his creative mind for some tips on topics to bring up and things like that. And you wanted me to ask you today about Teacher Appreciation Day, which is probably a subject that won't come up today on most sports shows, but if anybody listens to our segment on a regular basis, they'll know that sometime we don't always talk sports with Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. So Teacher Appreciation Day, your thoughts, and obviously we all appreciate our teachers, but I know you have something special you want to say surrounding that.
Yeah, it's not today.
It was today.
No, it's not. It's not. But I wanted you to ask me because I'm working on the story right now. When I speak at schools, high schools, elementary schools, colleges, if you'll have me, I'll speak there. And inevitably, someone asks me, why'd you become a sports writer? And I tell the same story every time, that when I was in ninth grade in Wisconsin, I played all the sports you could play and you know, enjoyed English class and writing book reports. And my English teacher, Mrs. Connor, said to me, you like writing, you like sports. Have you ever thought about being a sports writer? And until that moment, I hadn't. But that day, I was a future sports writer. That was the day. And so I tell kids that story. And then I was speaking at a little Catholic school here in Indy a few months ago. And a kid asked me, and I told him that story. And then I kind of blurted out loud, you know what? I need to go find Miss Connor and thank her. I realize I've never thanked her for what she's done for me. So I went looking, like, I want to do this, and then I want to write about it. And so I went looking on the calendar, and Teacher Appreciation Week is March 7th through 11th, I believe. So I'm writing it now. It's going to run that week. The story of it's my search for Miss Connor and thanking her for what she did for me. Teachers, they blow me away because I'm a dad. Like, they didn't blow me away when I was a kid. I probably didn't like them when I was a kid that much, although, yeah, I did. I was a teacher's pet, but... They blow me away as a dad because I've got kids and I send my kids to school and you know, you're awake 16 hours a day and half that day you're with teachers and they're raising my kids for me and no one looks at it that way, but that's exactly what they're doing and they're doing it for not a whole lot of money and not a whole lot of criticism and stress and pressure and no, they're not all perfect and we can all think of reasons why. They're not all perfect, but most of them are just so wonderful and I'm blown away at the career choice they've made, and so it was time to write this, that's all.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Good stuff as always, Greg. Thanks for sharing with us, and thanks for coming on this week as always.
Thanks for getting me crying again, Matt.
It's a weekly thing, but we all love it. We all appreciate you.
All right, talk to you next week. Right. Bye.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. With us on the program today, great to have him. A lot of fun to have him with us on Tuesdays. And his segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, Coffee Crossing Sellersburg is now open. I meant to ask Greg, but he recommends, as you probably know, the sugar-free chocolate at Coffee Crossing. So that's next on my list to try when I go see my friend Alan Butts and his great staff at four convenient locations now. For Coffee Crossing. I know he's got some exciting news that we hope he shares with us soon on the program about the Coffee Crossing and brand. So exciting stuff, and make sure you check out the news store if you haven't already. One other note before we close out this segment. I spoke last night with Josh Jefferson. He's a graduate of the New Albany High School basketball program. You'll remember he's a real success story. Not only was he a state champion and a real key cog with a young Romeo Langford and a young Sean East and even Rondell Moore on that team when New Albany won the state title, but he went to junior college and he got his grades right. He got everything situated so he could make the jump to play Division I basketball. He did so last year as a junior, coming out of 2 years of junior college at Illinois State. Got playing time. He had some games where he knocked down a lot of threes and scored some points, but wanted to make a change for his senior year, for his 1 year left of college eligibility. So he's been hearing from, he entered the NCAA transfer portal. We talked about this a few weeks ago when he first made that decision. He entered the NCAA transfer portal, and he told me last night that he will be visiting Wisconsin Green Bay on Wednesday. He's heard from Nevada, Colorado State, Washington State, Albany as well, and some other schools potentially in the mix also. So it looks like he's going to have the opportunity to continue playing at least one more year of Division I basketball, which is good for him as he tries to find a situation he really is excited about for his last year of college eligibility. So a little bit of an update on him. Again, a visit Wednesday to Wisconsin, Green Bay is the plan. Nevada, Colorado State, Washington State, Albany, they all are schools that are interested in him as well, so we'll follow his recruitment and see where he winds up for 1 year left of college eligibility. That's the segment with Greg Doyle, each week presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. All sorts of recruiting stuff right now. Coaches on the road, 2019 recruits. Indiana's trying to get committed to fill some open spots. Underclassmen recruiting's heating up with the SHU and AAU circuit back in play. The graduate transfer market is something I don't think you can completely ignore right now if you're an Indiana fan, although Joey Brunk coming out of that market, obviously, to commit last week. So plenty of things to get to. Mike Pegram's the guy on the Pegs.com site that can pull all this together for us, and we'll talk a lot of recruiting stuff, IU basketball stuff with him coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us on the program and joining us at an aptly time. There is so much going on right now from a recruiting perspective with IU basketball. And Mike and his team, of course, Jeff Rabjohns is with us on Wednesdays. Ken Bycall from time to time, Matt Weaver on football, regular voices you hear on our program. But right now, they've got everything covered, all these names that we're mentioning and talking about IU coaches being on the road to meet with players and coaches and filling scholarship openings. It's all covered on the Pegs.com website. If you're not a subscriber, you might check that out. A great time, even though it's the off season, never really a slow period when it comes to IU basketball. Mike, a lot of activity right now. We're in a period when you can clarify this a little bit for me, but we're in a period right now where coaches can hit the road, they can visit with players and their coaches and their families, and Indiana has taken full advantage of that here in the last few days.
Yeah, we passed kind of the dead periods, and this weekend is actually a bullet on the evaluation, but over the next couple of weeks, you can go watch players work out, at their high school open gyms or what have you, and Indiana did that. A couple spots yesterday, Stepanek High School out in New York, and I think maybe Huntington Prep in West Virginia. They were out looking at some players and trying to hone in on some guys they'll probably watch over the weekend SHU circuit type events.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Two scholarships open at this time. And we've talked about a lot of names. There's graduate transfers out there that who knows if Indiana will go back down that path for a second graduate transfer this offseason. There's some 2019 guys that Indiana obviously is pretty serious with, including Anthony Harris, who was recently on campus. But before we even kind of get into that situation, Archie Miller, the coaching staff, they don't have to get rid of those scholarships. Archie Miller could save whatever term you want to use, if that's what he chooses. Talk about that as well.
You can always hold over scholarships for the next class. You're limited to 13 at a time. And there's only a couple guys set to graduate next year. We're talking about Deron Davis and Devontae Green. So not a lot of scholarships open up for the 2020 class. So if you don't use a scholarship on the 2019, you might help yourself balance your classes out, and balancing things out really kind of helps you build stability where you're not having major rebuild jobs. And so there's some advantages to not using all 13 scholarships.
And one of the players, Anthony Harris, that was on campus over the weekend, left Bloomington, went to Chapel Hill, and after that visit, which I believe concludes later today, is expected to be drawing close to making a decision. I mentioned this earlier on the program in our headline segment, but I saw that North Carolina got a commitment this morning, I believe, from another key guard. How will that affect Anthony Harris, who I believe was down to just North Carolina and Indiana? He was going to choose from those two, wasn't he?
It's been hinted that he will choose those two. Those were two are considered the favorites, I guess might be a better way to put it, because he's using official visits for those schools. He originally was committed to Virginia Tech, but Buzz Williams left for Texas A&M, so he was back. That's how he got back on the market, a really good player. And, you know, he's still considering Virginia Tech and a couple other schools near home, Maryland and Georgetown, but best intel that we have suggests, you know, Carolina and Indiana are in the best shape. Yeah, and that commitment today, you know, there are a lot of people that think it'll help Indiana. It depends on the sales job that Carolina is doing with Anthony Harris, who is on his second day of his official visit to Chapel Hill, you know, as we talk here. It's hard to say, Matt, because he's a little bit of a combo guy, as Anthony is. Can play a little bit of both positions. And does he get influenced by a guy who may only stay for a year? Because Cole Anthony, in some people's minds, is the top point guard in the country right now, Greg Anthony's son. So he may only stay for a year, but players are so impatient nowadays, and not being able to maybe play the point right off the bat might be a problem for Anthony. So we'll see. I think that there are some belief that it helps Indiana, the news today, but I'm a little bit hesitant to go that far because he is kind of a combo and might have a longer-term outlook.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is with us. Again, a lot of the players, a lot of the storylines we talk about, you can read in more detail at the Pegs.com website. You mentioned the spring evaluation period. Only one weekend this year, and really just two over the course of the year, where Division I coaches can now get out in this new recruiting calendar and actually watch AAU, shoe-sponsored stuff, EYBL, the Adidas Gauntlet, things that we've talked about a lot over the years with prospects on this program. That period is coming up, at least for the spring. Where could Indiana coaches be expected to be seen at? I'm sure they'll split up, divide and conquer, try to hit multiple locations, multiple brands, multiple tournaments, and maybe some players starting with in-state guys. And, of course, this will be the younger guys. This will be 2020 guys that are currently juniors that will be seniors next year and below, but maybe some key guys you expect Indiana to really track closely in this spring period, which can give fans kind of an off-season pattern to follow as far as maybe some of the more serious underclassmen prospects that Indiana will pursue this off-season.
Well, four coaches can go out at a time now, and the head coach and his three assistants. I would think that most of the days coming up this weekend, they'll have a couple coaches in Atlanta or north of Atlanta in Emerson, Georgia, at the Nike UIBL event, because Ethan Morton and Caleb Love and Jaden Ivey and a lot of good players there. That's a really, you know, the top guys on our hot board are there. And really the bulk of the top players now are in the Nike Elite Youth Basketball League event. And that's and then maybe send one guy to Adidas in the Dallas area this year, because they are still very much following the local guys are Anthony Leal from Bloomington South and Trey Galloway from Culver. And also looking at some of the kids from Minneapolis that will be there. Dawson Garcia is like around number 30 in the whole entire country, and he's 6'11" or so, 6'10". Ben Carlson, 6'10", on that same team, is a high major player and in 4-star. So they'll definitely be in Adidas. And then Under Armour is in Kansas City. I know that they like Mike Saunders, who's a point guard who started his career at Lawrence North, but now is at a Wasatch Academy out in Utah. I also think there's some other players out there, but he's going to play for an Indiana-based team called G3 Grind in Kansas City, and I imagine there's some other top players in Under Armour that they'll look at. So I would suspect most of the weekend they have two coaches in Atlanta, one in Dallas and one in Kansas City, and based on what we see as a talent this first thing coming up.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, my guest. Last Friday when Kyle Neddenrip was on the program, we talked about the recruiting calendar and how much it has changed this year, how different it will be, especially when it gets to the June and July periods. Coaches can now go out and watch some high school events. The NBA Players Association camp is going to be open. The NCAA is going to have some regional camps in July to replace some of the travel and shoe-sponsored tournament weekends that coaches would get out. What to you, you know, for, I guess thinking about it from what IU coaches, Coach Miller the last couple summers, Coach Crean before him, with how aggressive they've been on the road at these events, what's the biggest change in all of this to you that we'll experience, they'll experience this recruiting period in the summer?
Well, they've tried to bring back an emphasis on camps. The top 100 camp has never been open to coaches, or at least hasn't for a really long period of time, and that's in mid-June. That'll be open to coaches. Some Team USA stuff and some other regional camps that nobody really understands what they'll be about or, you know, who will be there and all that. That's going to be the big thing to watch for this summer. You know, we don't have, it's still a couple months down the road, but that's going to be a change, and I really have no idea what to expect or how to, for us to figure out how to follow it. But they're going to try this, and I know a lot of coaches and a lot of people aren't optimistic this is going to be the best thing, but it is what they're going to try this year.
Definitely some blowback. You talk with enough coaches, and you've been out and experienced all this stuff as much as anybody that I know that covers a specific team and their recruiting in the offseason. There's definitely some concern about the camps. There's definitely some concern about some of the changes that have been made. For all the negatives that Nike and Adidas and shoe-sponsored stuff has taken the hit over the last year, year and a half or so specifically, there's not, in my recollection, ever been a better group of talent put together under one roof on multiple courts to play in front of coaches with scholarship money out there on the line than, say, the Nike EYBL, the way they've structured that. And the other companies, shoe companies, have taken suit to follow that. Getting rid of that, it's still going to be there. The teams are still there. They're still going to play. It's just the college coaches will only be there one time in the spring and one time in July, as opposed to a lot more opportunities to see them. But getting rid of some of that, taking the emphasis for coaches off of some of that and putting it to camps where you're being grouped with random players, that's a tough deal. That's going to be interesting to see how it goes. There's already been, at least from what I've heard, a lot of negative feedback to it, and it hasn't even got here yet.
Yeah, and especially in how those players are selected for those camps. There's no real there's a lot of worry that that'll be done improperly, and you'll have a bad mix of players, and how, you know, players having to decide whether to do those camps or just to go with their team or take the weekend off. That there's just a lot of things that could go wrong with a few of the camps they have coming up. So we'll see how it goes. You know, I've been there with the Nike camp before, and it was a good evaluation situation, so it can work, but that was under one corporate roof, and they had their rules that they follow. Now I'm not sure what the rules will actually be and how it'll be set up and whether it'll be fair.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is with us. Getting back to IU for a moment before we let you go, looking at the roster for next season, the two open scholarships are the big question marks. Will Indiana fill both of them? How will they fill both of them if they choose to do so? Do you expect any other movement potentially in the roster? We've seen some transfers depart. We saw a walk-on announce even that he would enter the transfer portal. Outside of some potential 2019 guys, can you see any other changes for next year with what Indiana is expected to have back?
You know, we're only about 10 days from graduation day. I would suspect that we're probably not going to have another transfer. But it's still possible You still hear every day, you hear somebody's leaving. But I would think it's unlikely now that we're so close to May. And I do expect that they will add another player. Whether they add us two players that they have scholarships for, I would say that would be maybe a 50-50 thing, but I think it's highly likely they'll bring in at least one more roster addition before the spring is over.
Mike, final question for you. I mentioned earlier today Romeo Langford in a CBS Sports mock draft was number 19, and that's one of the, I think, the lower places I've seen him in a somewhat reputable draft out there that you follow. Any update? Talking with Greg Doyle in the last segment, not heard much about an agent, haven't heard much about if and what. We know he's working out if he can, obviously coming off of a surgery, but any scoop, any idea on what's next for Romeo as he prepares for the draft and if he'll participate in some of the opportunities that are forthcoming, like the NBA Combine and workouts, and if he's even healthy enough to do so coming off of a hand surgery?
Yeah, obviously it wouldn't be healthy enough in the near term, but it is confusing. We've heard a lot of NBA people, really want to move forward with learning more about him and seeing what he has going on, and they're a little bit frustrated by not having that agent maybe to kind of filter things for him. And so that's been surprising, and I don't know if it hurts him, but it probably does now, but, he can obviously have plenty of time for some of that stuff later. But it has been surprising that he hasn't, now I'm signing with this guy, and everyone has to, NBA teams have to work through this agency, and like it is going on with other players. What will happen? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't throw out the possibility that he could come back to Indiana, but I don't think that would be likely. But I would say it's more likely than I would have thought a few weeks ago, because he has. I don't know if he's dropped in the draft, as you get closer to the draft, you get maybe a better feel for where exactly he's going to be, and maybe some of those early mocks were just not very well informed mocks. But he's not answered the shooting issue, whether that wrist is really the cause of it or not. Is a real concern. And then I think as some of the CBS commentary today, I mean, the work ethic off the ball is something he didn't really show a lot at Indiana for whatever reason. And that's how it caused some concern about when he goes in the draft.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, covering a lot of ground with us related to IU basketball. He joins us Tuesdays. Of course, Jeff Rabjohns, also of Pegs.com, with us Wednesdays on the program. Jeff, thanks for the – excuse me, Mike, thanks for the chat. Appreciate the information, a very busy time, and we'll talk with you again next week.
All right, we'll talk to you then. Thank you.
All right, Mike Pegram with us always on Tuesdays, a lot of IU basketball, and a lot of recruiting year-round, a lot of activity right now with this program as far as what's going to happen with open scholarships and coaches getting ready to hit the road for the spring period. And a lot of players, Indiana and across the region, that you can bet that these coaches are going to be following every move very closely in the offseason. That's just about going to wrap things up for us here on a Tuesday edition of the program. We're back Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Wednesday, we're joined by Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com. Also, Craig Pearson, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune, to talk local Southern Indiana sports headlines. He's with us on Wednesdays as well, so you have that tomorrow. And don't forget, if you miss a segment, you miss a show, a number of ways you can track it down. First off, the show, if you're listening in the 11 o'clock hour, is live then. It replays most days in the 3 p.m. hour. And if you want to go back and listen to the show as a podcast, you can do so a couple of ways. Apple Podcast is an easy way. Just search the Hoosier Report while you're there to subscribe for free. Please leave us a great rating and a review as well. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in listening to our program as a podcast. Also, on SoundCloud, you can download that app. Just search for the Hoosier Report or point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Enjoy a great Tuesday. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.